Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning to you, 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Mello Finlayson is here as well. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
How you been? Everything good?
Yeah, it's Friday. I'm very happy about that.
Friday is good.
Yes.
I was saying earlier today, so if you go 20% a day of the week, so Monday 20%, Tuesday 40%, Wednesday 60%, Thursday 80%. Now, if you started your day like me at 5, then you're like 90% through till the weekend. And a lot of people are just starting their day though, so they're like an hour in, but still you're at, 80 something percent. That's good.
Yeah, it's a great day.
The weekend is oh so close. Now, is the weekend different for you as a realtor? Kind of work time, is it? Because that's when most people do their realty stuff, right?
Yeah. If I have a buyer in town, then I'm definitely showing properties and things like that, or going to listing appointments. And yeah.
Is that a good thing? Or
yeah, because then you get a
you get a commission, but you also
don't get
have
a commission
to,
for that. You get you get hired.
Sell it, yeah. But it also means that weekends aren't as free, right, for you? Because you're always doing stuff. You can't go party with your family.
Yeah, well, I get calls a lot for my leads. So they come in, and when they come in, I have to answer, like, immediately and then do whatever I need to do for that lead. So, yeah, it's busy, and my daughter says I'm on the phone all the time, and I don't try to be, but I do try to provide. So that's kind of what I'm
going
to do.
My son has made the statement that my wife would, she's at her 30-year mark and she can retire. He said a good second career for her. My son always said, you'd make a great realtor.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't want a job where you're on call 24/7. I mean, and I don't blame her. I mean, there's something to be said for having a job when work is over for the day at 4:30 or 5 or 5, whenever you finish, you're done work. There's something to be said for that. And a realtor job is not that.
That is not that. There is always something going on.
Yeah. So
that's part of the fun of it, because I don't have the same thing happening every day. Day is different. Like yesterday I was staging a property, and I love to do that.
Oh, so you're a stager. You love staging. In fact, my wife asked me yesterday, do you think Mello would come and stage our house? And I'm like, we're not going to sell it. And she goes, no, stage it for us to live in. I'm like,
yes, I would. I would probably to go shopping with her at TJ Maxx and pick out some great stuff for her.
Oh, good luck getting her to spend any money.
Oh, you have no idea the skills I have. I can get her to buy it. Wait.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the things that, I haven't announced it officially on air, but Stockton Myers is no longer working here, our news guy. Those who listen to the station at all have known the last 2 weeks he hasn't been here. In fact, I've received many texts saying, hey, what happened to him? Well, he took a non-radio job elsewhere. He needed full-time money. He wasn't a full-timer here, and so he's gone. One of the things that has happened, though, with that is I have become dual purpose guy. I'm like Travis Hunter in the end, the Colorado guy that wants to play offense and defense. I'm playing radio host and also news guy. That is not necessarily a good thing in my personal life, because there's more hours and there's more. The thing about being a news guy, and maybe Stockton didn't like that, maybe he loved it, but it's kind of like being a realtor. You're on 24/7. You're always watching the news. You're always looking out for stuff. And so I am a news guy too right now. I don't love it, but I got to do what I got to do until we get a new news person in. But yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting here working on something here at my studio, and boom, this flashes across the wire. A press release actually had been put out by the Hilldale, Colorado City Police, and it was a summation of what had happened in the wee hours of Thursday morning. And so I'm just going to read this to you and maybe get your reaction and talk about it a little bit. Police responded to an apparent murder scene Thursday morning in Colorado City, Arizona. Colorado City Hilldale police were dispatched at 1:24 a.m. For a reported gunshot victim. They arrived on the scene and found a man who had been shot multiple times. At that time, they attempted life-saving, you know, measures. They were unsuccessful. The person died at the scene. They did have witnesses, though, and they were able to locate the person who they believe did the shooting in neighboring Hilldale, which is in Utah. So Colorado City is there in Arizona. Hilldale's in Utah. They went and arrested this person. After they got a search warrant, they brought the Washington County Metro SWAT in and arrested the person, fortunately, without major incident. And the suspect is currently in jail. I talked with Donnie Jessup, who is the mayor of Hilldale, yesterday about it. And she said, there's no threat to the public right now, and we're deeply saddened by what's happened. And she said, beyond that, I can't tell you anything. And I know who it is, and we know who was involved, but we can't say anything yet until the investigation is complete. But murder.
They won't even say who died?
Not yet, no.
Really?
Murder in small town, Utah. Now, Hilldale, Colorado City, they used to call it Short Creek. Was the home of, you know, the polygamy and the FLDS church, and they kept everything really close to the vest. And I, you know, if there was a murder in there, we wouldn't even really hear about it most times, you know. But now it's progressive. It's a lot more progressive town, a lot more. I think there was actually a judge ruling that they were discriminating against outsiders, and so. And of course, the FLDS moved, and the Warren Jeffs was arrested, and you know, things changed quite a bit over there. But this is not necessarily, well, definitely not a change for the better to have a murder in this town. I just wonder your thoughts on the progression of that town, and the fact that someone was actually murdered there is wild.
Right. I am happy that Donnie Jessup's gotten in there and kind of helped to open it up and make it more of a community where everyone can be, not just the FLDS, because it is a beautiful little spot.
Incredible area, yeah.
It's beautiful. And I mean, they're a community like everybody else, and there's going to be fights, and there's going to be people that are using drugs, and there's going to be people that have arguments. And like, I guess it just kind of shows you it's just kind of a regular. They've got regular problems like everybody else.
I wonder, you know, and we, again, I have no details on this yet, and they're not releasing them yet. So nobody has any details on this yet, but you wonder if this was a domestic dispute, maybe a drug deal situation. We just don't know. And it would be irresponsible for us to speculate too far on this, but to have a murder like that. And you and I both know, we love crime shows, true crime shows.
Not
especially.
At night, though, but yes.
No, yeah. But it's almost always someone that you're very well acquainted with that commits these murders. Very rarely is it a stranger.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And I'm sure there's still a lot of people that are related in that community, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite websites to go to, well, it used to be one of my favorites, is Washington County Bookings.
Yeah, when they used to have pictures, they don't anymore.
That was the best. So even in Utah County, they had the bookings with the photos. Mm-hmm. And I have a former brother-in-law, and you could see his bookings from, like, the early 90s all the way till the 20s and see the progression of what drugs does to your image. And it was the best. And you do you know why they got rid of the booking pictures?
I do know why. Because they have not been convicted of a crime yet. They had ruled that those were unfairly portraying these people in a bad light when they haven't been convicted yet.
I have a different theory.
Okay, I knew you would, but that's the official.
Okay,
that's the official ruling. A judge actually ruled that.
Okay, but, when I used to live up in Payson, Utah, and when I lived there, they had a magazine at the gas station, and it was called Mugshots.
Really?
And they published all of the mugshots, and so you could buy the
it's
magazine
kinda cool.
with
yeah.
all the mugshots in it, and I. It's a fun time. You can see if there's anybody you used to date. You can see if there's anybody
you
went
know.
To school
yeah,
with.
Yeah.
I know. I thought it was fun.
My daughter, whose name is Katie Griffin, pretty common name, not like, you know, not like John Smith, but fairly common name, Katie Griffin. She is a very straight-laced, very, I mean, you know, sterling scholar, straight-A student, et cetera. She's very straight-laced. But there was another Katie Griffin in this town who was not so straight-laced, who got arrested a lot.
Oh, no.
And when they took away the photos, you know, it's been, what, 5 years
it's
or something?
A little while,
a few years. When they took away the photos, so all you published was the name, and sometimes they'll have an address connected with it, but a lot of people didn't know our address. I used to get calls, Mello, saying, hey, is that your daughter? I'm sorry about your daughter.
What's
I'm
going
like,
on?
That is not my daughter. okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, and actually my daughter has lived in Provo for the last, well, she went on a mission, she went to Spain, and then she's been going to BYU. So she actually hasn't lived here since really 2021 or so, so.
Jeez, yeah. I do miss the images. I do understand they're not guilty until they're found guilty.
Yeah.
But even then, is that when they should release the mugshots?
I was going to say, why don't they then, at that point, if they plead guilty or if they're convicted, why don't we then put their pictures up at that point?
I know.
I don't.
I think the knowing public wants to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a friend of mine who is a teacher. She teaches dental hygienists how to do their job. And she said, this surprised me. I did not know this, but she said, you think that sugar is the worst thing for teeth? That absolute worst for cavities and all that stuff?
Yeah.
She's like, it is not. The worst thing for teeth is illicit drugs. She said most of the drugs that these people take have acid in them. So they don't attack your teeth on the surface. They attack your teeth from the inside. When you take these drugs, you've got this stuff in your system and your teeth rot. She said, just look at someone who's been on meth a few years and you can see they have the worst teeth in the world. And she said, if you can't find a reason not to take drugs, if you've run out of reasons, how about having bad teeth? That would be a pretty good reason there.
Yeah, I'm pretty vain with my teeth. I like to have my teeth all in a row.
Now you mentioned the mugshot thing and the kind of the mistaken identity and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, here's an interesting story. So it's a little bit of a sad story. So I want to be careful. I don't want to offend anybody. But there was a guy on the USS Nimitz. His name was Gabriel D. Holt, and he's from Washington City. He has gone missing, and they search for him for 120 hours. Basically, they are assuming he's dead now. Hmm. They cannot find the guy. And this was in the news this morning, and I reported it, and his name is Gabriel D. Holt, Gabriel Holt of Washington City. Here's the problem. There's another Gabriel Holt in Washington City. And in fact, I'm friends with the Holt family, and she said that people were calling her all morning long saying, oh, I'm sorry about your son. Aww. It's not her son. Her son's name is Gabriel, but this isn't him. This is a different Gabriel Holt.
Wow.
So, yeah. Anyway, the rest of the story on the Gabriel Holt that did go missing, the USS Nimitz aircraft carrier was on a port call in Guam. He was on shore leave, and last time anybody saw him, he was by a hotel beach called Gun Beach at about midnight Friday night. No one has seen him since. They put in, according to the captain of the Nimitz, 120 hours and over 11,000 square nautical miles have been searched, and they cannot find him. They have declared him unknown or missing in action. So,
oh, that's sad.
This is Captain Doug Graber of the Nimitz. He says, our deepest sympathies are with the family, friends, and shipmates of Petty Officer Holt. That sounds like he's assuming that he is no longer with us.
That's so sad for the family, too, because where's the closure in that? Like, knowing if he was abducted because he was on the shore. It's not like he was on the ship when it happened.
Right.
So you'd have all those questions. My daughter was in the Navy, and she was on the Theodore Roosevelt.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she served for, I think, 4 to 6 years in between that range. And she was on a ship, and it was, I got to go on the Theodore Roosevelt, actually, like when she was ported in San Diego.
Really? You got a little tour?
Yeah, I got a tour of it, and it was really cool. It's tight quarters.
Yeah.
So when they go off, they really want to go out.
Oh, yeah.
Because their bed is just like a square bunk, and there's someone above you, and you lift up the bunk, and that's where your stuff goes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tiny. Incredible. It's tight quarters, so I feel so sad for the family not to have any closure.
If you've ever been to San Diego, they let you tour an aircraft carrier there. I think it's the USS Midway.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't tell you how many times I hit my head on that thing.
Oh, you're a big guy.
They don't make it for tall people at all. No. And, they call bulkheads or whatever. That's the name of what they call the walls. And every door that you go through is kind of, you have to step up over it and you have to duck down under it.
Yeah.
And, it was tight. It was tight.
I mean, my daughter's small. She's only probably about 5'4", 5'5". She's a tiny little thing. And her knees, actually, now that she's out, she has like, in quotes, disability because of her knees. Like, she has issues with her knees from all of the going down and up in that little small space.
Mm, Well, I have often said I would not be I would not be able to serve in the Navy because of the small ships. I'm just too big. And honestly, if you put me in the Army, you know what they, you know what the enemy would call me? I would be the target. Hit the big guy that moves slow. Hit that guy. Shoot for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So. No. You want to join? I'm sorry. I am a military, former military spouse, and my ex-husband was in the Air Force.
He was a pilot, wasn't he? For a
while? He was a navigator. Oh, okay. And he was a colonel. He is a colonel. And he always says that if the military wanted you to have a family, they would have issued you one. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So. Air Force was the best for family life, though, as opposed to Army and Marines and Navy.
And see, I guess I could have done something. I don't know. Those that have served in the military, maybe, can you find a place for a guy who's 6'5 and 300 pounds in the military? Because, I mean, big guys are.
Well, they have a program for
I wouldn't be in a tank. I couldn't fit in a jet fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, no ships. A submarine, forget about it. So,
nope.
I don't know.
Nope. You'd have to be an administration.
Yeah, I could do that. A communication guy. I'm a communication guy. So. Okay, one more story in the news today that I wanted to talk about before we go to the bottom of the hour is there's a video out there. I hope you said you hadn't seen it, but people need to see this video because you will be stunned at how bad two teenagers trashed a house right here in St. George. They broke windows. I mean, we're not talking about an abandoned house or a house under construction. This is someone's winter home. They had just moved back up to Salt Lake, you know, snowbird kind of thing. And these two teenagers decided, hey, this place is empty. Let's go have some fun. So they broke out all the windows, the exterior windows. They went inside. They destroyed furniture. They smashed appliances. They took a sledgehammer to the toilet and turned it into basically dust. They just destroyed it.
Oh, my goodness.
They cut foam out of the couch cushion. I mean, I have never seen, if you got to look up this video, I found it on Facebook. I've never seen in my life a house as trashed on the inside as that house was. It was unbelievable.
I just don't know why people think they're not going to get caught either.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I was a kid.
They caught him, by the way. Yeah.
Like you could do some stupid things like toilet paper a house and not get caught if you were quiet. But like nowadays, everybody has a Ring camera.
Yeah.
All the neighborhoods are being watched. Like, essentially, they can find out if you walked from this point to this point and kind of, and even triangulate with your phone and find your location. So,
yeah, it's unbelievable. The two minors have admitted to breaking in and have been referred to juvenile court and the charges of criminal trespassing. And they only list that one in this news story, but I guarantee there will be a whole bunch more criminal mischief and a whole bunch of other deals. The house was built in 2003, and the owner, a lady owns it. Her husband has passed away, and she is, according to the people that made the video, just one of the sweetest little ladies you'll ever meet.
And, so sad.
Yeah.
It makes me really sad.
Yeah. Terrible story. Terrible story.
Why don't you find a good story for us, Andy? Come on. It's Friday. We're happy today.
It's news. See if I can find something positive. Oh, okay. I got one for you.
Good.
It is Arbor Day tomorrow, and St. George City is putting on an Arbor Day celebration tomorrow morning at Bloomington Hills North Park, where they will be giving you trees to plant.
They're giving you trees? I'm going.
Well, not in your house. Trees to plant there at the park. They are giving away some shrubs to people to take home. They are also offering free breakfast and all kinds of crafts and cool stuff. It's the Arbor Day celebration at Bloomington Hills North Park tomorrow at 9 a.m.
That's awesome. Have you heard, this is related to trees.
Okay.
The trees. University of Utah's Extension Service, is that what they're called?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so my dad told me that I can call them because in my yard, I have about a third of an acre. I plant trees whenever I move into a property because I want those big trees.
Yeah.
I've had 3 of those trees die in the last 4 years.
So is there something in your soil? Maybe?
That's what I'm wondering. So he said if I call the extension service that they'll actually come out and test my soil and tell me what's going on with the soil. So I think that's pretty cool. So I'm going to do that next week and I'll report back.
Good idea.
But I'm wondering, what could be in my dirt that's killing my trees?
Yeah, I don't pretend to be a specialist on that kind of thing, but it sounds like to me there's something in the soil that... you know, maybe you're built on maybe there's a lot of lava rock under where you are. I know there's a lot of lava rock out in that area, mm-hmm. in Santa Clara, and maybe they try to put roots down and all they run into is a bunch of rock. Right. Or, who knows?
They're huge trees, though. They've been alive for like 4 and 5 years before they die.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And they're in different spots in my yard. So they're not like all in one space. They're just scattered. It's just weird. I just want trees to live, like arbors.
Two other things tomorrow. I mentioned the Arbor Day celebration. Tomorrow is also National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. The DEA is sponsoring a day where you can go. So what happens is people get these drugs. Say you got, I don't know, some for pain, you know, maybe Oxy or whatever that you took for pain years ago when you had a surgery and you didn't need them all. And hopefully most of us are like that. I think most of the time I never finish those kinds of drugs because we don't want to risk getting addicted. And once you feel fine, you just stop, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the DEA says, listen, don't flush them down your toilet because a lot of the water that we use is reused and we don't want to poison it, put drugs. I mean, because they can get a lot of impurities out of water, but it's hard to get something like that out of the water. So they're asking us to take them to, and they, I'm going to list these locations here in a second, but take them and have them dispose of properly and instead of flushing them down the toilet, which a lot of us would do. So in Washington County, here are some places tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So you got 4 hours there to take your old prescription drugs in. Number one, Smith's Marketplace, just down the road here on Bluff Street. Number two, Bloomington Walmart out on Pioneer Road. You can also stop by the St. George Police Department or the Utah Tech Police Department. So in St. George, you have Utah Tech, SGPD, Bloomington Walmart, and Smith's Marketplace as drug take-back locations. There will be a policeman at each one of those locations that will take those from you. And if you are in the hurricane area, you're in the eastern part of the county, Lynn's Marketplace on State Street. Also, you can go to the Hurricane Police Department or you can go to the Washington County Sheriff's Office and drop those drugs off. No questions asked. Just go in and say, I need to get rid of these. I don't want to flush them. Will you take them? And they'll say, absolutely.
Also, side note, if you live in Santa Clara, the Fusion Pharmacy, which is just right there by the Dutchman's, they have a bin to take your old prescription drugs at any time.
Nice.
So that's where I take mine.
Very nice. KDXU News Time is 9:31. We'll get a weather check, take a little break. We'll be back with more here on The Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Melody Finlayson is on the show today, as always. She's not a guest anymore. She's one of us.
Yeah. We have a good time. It's fun.
I was talking with Willie Billings yesterday. He was on the show. People got to hear that. He's a very smart guy. But his business, he's a financial literacy. He's basically a financial advisor. And he said he started his business to try to teach people financial literacy. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And basically, he, like me, was amazed that people don't sit down and put pen to paper or if you use a computer, whatever, and figure out a budget. I said, what do you mean they don't? And I found this even with my kids and the kids that want to marry my kids, like my daughter's getting married next month, they have no idea what a budget is.
That's true.
It's shocking to me. And I'm like, how can you live without knowing, you know, whether the numbers fit, how they work and stuff? And, you know, you're a realtor. My son's a realtor. And I don't know how you guys do it because you'll have feast and famine. Mm-hmm. You'll sell 4 houses in a month and then no houses for 2 months. And you have to live on the commissions you made that 1 month. And I mean, yeah, it's a lot of money. But if you don't budget, if you don't work it out.
Well, there's a lot of expenses in real estate, too. That's true. We don't get all that money. There's a lot of operating costs over the top of it. But for budgeting, one thing I've done for my kids is we followed Dave Ramsey pretty well for the last...
Okay, I have a few things I disagree with him on, but
Yep. So, I mean, I have credit cards because I run a business and I need to have everything on the credit card and then I can pay that off and I can follow all my expenses. Mm-hmm. But every dollar is a free budgeting tool you can use with kids or even adults. I pay for it. It costs me about, I think, $79 a year. And with that, I can make my budget. I can create it on the computer, and then I link my accounts to it, and then I can slide over as the expenses come in and put them in the right categories that I've budgeted. So I can actually see what I allocated and then what we actually spent. Mm. And then I can say, hey, we did too much eating out this month. We did too much, you know, whatever the category right. is, and then we can kind of tailor it and go forward the next month and try and do a little better.
Obviously, things have changed in the last few years with the, you know, with the COVID and the stimulus money and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And wages are way up, but so is the cost of living. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating to me to look at it and go, I mean, when I was, say, you know, in my 20s, you know, if you made $6 or $7 an hour, that was a lot of money. And now, you know, $6 or $7 is nothing. In fact, minimum wage isn't it $7 something?
Yeah. I think it's $7.25.
So, really they're paying fast food people $12 to $14 to $16 an hour to make burgers and flip burgers or make fries or whatever. And so things have definitely changed, but though they make more now, everything costs more. It's a scale. It's slidable. It's the same numbers. It's just different numbers. You know, it's the same concept.
I know, but the wages haven't really gone up from minimum wage. Yes, they're paying more at certain places. Honestly, I got divorced in 2013, and then I wanted to go to work because I wanted to meet people. I was single after 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. I still had 6 kids. I had 5 at home. I had enough child support and alimony. I didn't have to work, but I wanted to work, so I got a job at Star Nursery. So just in 2013, I started at Star Nursery making like $7.50 an hour.
Yeah.
And that was like
pre-COVID. That was before things went a little crazy.
I know. My rent was $9.50 a month for my apartment, and then my car payment was like $400 or $500. I got rid of that car after I got divorced. You know what I mean? There were a lot of expenses. Like, I couldn't have made it as a single mom working there if I didn't have really healthy child support and alimony, which I did. Hmm. So it's.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, in this modern world, you've got to have 2 incomes to maintain a household. If you have kids at all and stuff, I mean, you've got to have 2
And that's what's
incomes.
Sad, because then there's no parent at home.
However, having said that, my son, his wife doesn't work. My son works, and he drives truck and makes good money. He's making over $100,000 driving truck, but, it can be done. Right. But I would say, honestly, that would be the exception rather than the rule. It's just a difficult thing to make ends meet. Even if your spouse doesn't have a full-time job, they have a job. They have some way to bring some money in. Mm-hmm. I think a friend of mine got married and she has a website and she makes candles and she makes money that way. Mm-hmm. And even though she quit her full-time job, her husband works. Mm-hmm. And she has the side gig, side hustle.
Side hustle, they call it. Yeah. Yep.
And that's okay. But you know, the bottom line is, again, back to the budget, is I really think that if you can sit down, and we actually did this maybe a month ago, my wife and I, we sat down and we wrote down every single expense every mm-hmm. month, including a budget for eating out or a budget for, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you know, buying t-shirts, whatever it is. And then we, on the other side, we wrote exactly how much money was coming in and from where. And then we took the two ledgers and we put them together and said, okay, this is what we make. This is what we spend. You know, does it work? And if it doesn't work, what do we need to adjust to make it work? Whether mm-hmm. it's to make more money or to spend less. Those are the two options.
Those are the
have.
Options for sure.
Yeah. And it was, I think it was important. It was cathartic. Is that a word? It was therapeutic. Yeah. It helped me to understand more, you know, the money versus money in versus the money out.
Right. Yeah. We have to balance our budget, unlike some federal governments around other countries, maybe.
Well, and it does give you an appreciation for our state government
mm-hmm.
has to meet its budget. The federal government, as you mentioned, does not. If they don't make their budget, they put more money in the deficit. If they don't, you know, if they can't do that, well, they'll just print some more money. That's what mm-hmm. we saw, unfortunately, with the Biden administration. They printed a bunch of money because they weren't making it. And so they're, well, we'll just print some more. It'll be fine. Well, that drives inflation nuts. And mm-hmm. you end up paying, you know, $8 a dozen for eggs and things like that. So,
yeah. And there is one thing I'm doing differently with my younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter's 15. She's worked off and on at a couple of jobs. And something my sister-in-law, Nicole Finlinson, does with her kids is when they start working, when they get a paycheck, she takes half of it automatically and puts it into a savings account for them.
Nice.
And then when they are ready to leave, guess what? There's money to move out with.
Right.
It's genius. Good. It's genius.
So I want to ask your opinion about something. I had all of my kids, we did this, and there was a little squawking here and there, but for the most part, they accepted it. Squawking, yes.
I love it.
When our kids got of the age where they could drive, we would buy them a car. And everybody's like, oh, you bought them a car. Well, there's a little asterisk there. Once we bought them a car, we would take out, and I'm not going to say the exact number, but we would take out a certain amount of money and expect that every month from them to help pay for the car, the insurance, and then later on now, of course, the cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there was some squawking at first, but the kids realized the benefits of having a phone and a car far outweigh the small stipend that we take from them
right.
every month. But it did force them, every one of them, to go out and get some kind of job because mm-hmm. they had to make that payment every month. We took the money out of their account. We had their account numbers. We took
right.
the money.
Right.
And they, like I said, maybe they didn't like it. But the cool thing, we did this with every one of our kids. The car that we bought them, they got to keep it when they were 18 or 19 and moved out. Mm. That was their car.
Okay.
So it wasn't like we were taking the money and they were renting the car. They were actually, unbeknownst to them at the time, they were actually buying the car from us.
They might have driven it better if they knew it was theirs.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point. And yeah. Slow down a little bit and hop in the curbs if it was yours.
But, that's right. Yeah, we just have an old truck, a 1995 T100 that's still running. And that's the car that kids get to drive and learn to drive in because it's
nice.
It's nice, big. Nice. It's a little bigger, but then they're going to be a little more careful when they're parking. They're going to go a little slower because it doesn't go as fast. So,
but you know, every one of my kids, and my daughters are still younger, 21 and 22, mm-hmm. Almost 23. But they every one of them was like, they took that car when we gave it to them. They drove it for a couple of years after they left home, and then they sold the car and were able to bump up and get a little bit nicer car. And
that's great.
And that was important to them. And to me, it confirmed we were doing something right. That mm-hmm. was a good way to do it. And you know, one kid hung onto the car. It was a Hyundai Sonata for years. He loved mm-hmm. that car, but eventually did sell it. And guess what he bought? Another Hyundai because he loved
really?
The car so much. Yeah. And another one of my sons, you know, we had bought him a truck and he loved his truck. And, you know, we called it Brown Betty. It was a brown, old GM, brown GMC truck. But he loved the truck. And as soon as, you know, he was able to financially, he sold the truck and bought, yeah, guess what? Another brown truck, you know?
That's so cool.
So, yeah, I think we did things the right way. I hope so. Mm-hmm. We wanted to teach them the value of a dollar. And again, every time that I've had my kids get married, and this my fifth kid getting married next month, I've sat them down and I've said, look, here's something you got to know about adulting, you know, mm-hmm. is here's the money you're making. Here's the money you're spending. You've got to make the number of money you're spending be equal to or less than the money you're making or you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me, even my kids who I thought I had taught fiscal literacy, financial literacy, they were like, oh, huh. I didn't know that. Huh.
Right.
You know, because mom and dad had been paying for
I know.
A lot over
I know.
The years.
I did get my 15-year-old the Every Dollar free app. When she had her last job. Nice. And then we went through and we marked the different things she wanted. And if she wanted to save something, we moved it to the save category. But now I have adopted taking half of her check. And so
I got to get a commercial break in. But real quick, tell me the story about your daughter and birthday presents and how she wanted all this stuff for her birthday. And you said, guess what? You're a grown up now. Well, yeah. I'll let you tell it.
Yeah. Well, she sent me a whole list because that's what I used to have them do is send me a list of what they wanted. And then I'd pick and choose the things that they wanted and I'd get them for them. And she sent me this list and she was 21 and I'm like, hey, that's so sweet. I'm going to send you $50
and you can
get whatever you want with your list.
I can't imagine she was too happy with that one because a lot of the stuff on the list were way more than $50.
Well, this girl does not have all of her screws in place because she also told me when she had to go get a job and actually work, she said, I didn't ask to be born, so I shouldn't have to pay to live. So she's got a little bit warped reality.
Yeah, that is warped. All right, we'll take a commercial break. Here's $50. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. It's 9:51 on KDXU. Not a lot of time. I'm Andy. Mello is here, too. Mello, I was reading a story the other day about baby names and how what's old is, they call it the 100-year rule in baby names.
Mm-hmm.
And how names like Francis and Mabel and Melva and some of those old lady names are now their popular baby names.
Yeah, you hear the kids, like we went to a soccer game the other day.
Yeah.
There was a kid, a little boy named Morris.
Morris.
Yeah, and then you hear a little girl, they're like, go Hazel. I'm like, Hazel. Where's the old lady? Where'd she go? I didn't see her. But it's a little like 7-year-old running around.
I don't have a problem with it, but I just think it's strange that, I mean, honestly, when I was, you know, when I was naming kids, when I had kids and I was having kids, I wouldn't, for the life of me, think of naming a daughter Melva or any of those really old sound. There's nothing wrong with those names. It's just they were old, you know. But now they're, now they're doing it. Well, along with that, there's something called Grandma Core or Granny Hobbies that are making a comeback.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Does that mean young people are doing things like macrame and weaving and crocheting and stuff? And there's an article in the Deseret News about that, and yes, they are. In fact, this lady has a weaving studio. I didn't even know such a thing existed. And she says she has a couple of students that are older, you know, in their 70s and 80s. But she has a whole bunch of students that are under the age of 30.
Yeah, wow. It's true. I have two nieces that are in their late 20s, early 30s, and they crochet like mad. Like
really?
They've crocheted me blankets. They crocheted baby blankets for
us. That's cool. I think that's really cool.
And one of them, she is so talented. She can create like little characters, like the Pokemon characters. She can create those with crochet.
Yeah, my daughter will make a teddy. She likes making teddy bears.
Oh, that's cute.
Crocheting teddy bears.
I did buy one. I bought a little kit.
Now,
and
crochet is the two needles, right?
No, it's one. That's knitting. It's
knitting.
Two needles.
Okay.
Crochet is the one with a little hook on the end.
Okay. All right.
So I bought the kit a month ago, and I still have it in the bag, and I haven't opened it, but it's on my list of things to do.
You know, there's a certain road that goes somewhere that's paved with good intentions. You know that, right?
I know, but it's a very small item, so it's not taking up very much space.
Okay.
So I feel okay about it, and I'm gonna.
You're not a hoarder.
No, my husband calls me an organized hoarder, so there's a difference.
My wife, every time we had some, I forget what, so we had a crock pot, Diana's, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those big old crock pots, but it has this big giant ceramic bowl. So we threw the bottom part away that does the heating because it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And my wife came out yesterday and she had this big giant ceramic bowl with the lid. And she's like, what should I do with this? And I'm like, I don't know. It seemed like it'd be a good bowl to transport things in or whatever. And she goes, yeah, but it's you know, it's a part of a crock pot that doesn't work anymore. And she's like, I do not want to become my parents. I'm going to throw it away.
Good girl.
And I'm like, wait, what? Is that now the criteria for everything in your life? What thing would make me less like my parents?
Yeah. How many hammers do you have?
How many hammers do I have?
Yeah, like tools is one that guys like to collect. How many tools do you have? Do you have more tools?
I would say I have two hammers, yes.
Okay, I have two hammers.
I have a drawer full of wrenches and ratchets and stuff. They're so expensive that you don't throw them away when you use them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say I have an excessive amount of tools.
Okay, what about t-shirts?
I have more t-shirts than you could shake a stick at.
So there's your problem.
And how many do I wear? Probably five of them.
Exactly.
We get favorites. And years ago, I had a shirt I absolutely loved. I wore it every time I had free time because it was just the most comfortable shirt in the world. It wasn't necessarily that good looking or anything. But one time, and it developed a little teeny hole, maybe the size of a smaller than a penny. So, but my wife decided I did not need to wear that shirt anymore. Well, did I listen? No, I would wear the shirt anyway on Saturdays. So one Saturday, my wife says, honey, I asked you, please don't wear that shirt anymore. It doesn't look good. It's got a hole in it. It's just, And I was like, yeah, but I love this shirt. I'm just going to keep wearing it. Well, she proceeded, and this was when we had kids at home. Her and my sons proceeded to tear the shirt off of my back to make sure I would never wear it again.
No.
One of them put their finger in the little hole and just ripped, and yeah.
Oh, so, is that traumatic for you?
Well, I'm still talking about it, and it was probably 15 years ago, so yeah. 20 years ago. So.
Yeah, that sounds a little traumatic.
You know, it was. Yeah,
you got to let people get rid of things on their own time, or just wear it on Sunday because it was holy. So that's what you should have done.
Oh, yeah, a little holy shirt. Yeah, holy shirt.
So I'm glad she threw it away. That was good.
Granny hobbies are making a comeback. And I was thinking, what about grandpa? What do grandpas do? Like, grandpas sit around and...
Maybe woodworking would be like a grandpa hobby.
Yeah, my dad did that for a while, but he quit because it was, I don't know, he just didn't enjoy it as much as he thought he would. He paints. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's a grandpa hobby, right?
I think painting would be a grandpa or grandma hobby, too. Don't you?
Yeah, it could be. The problem is I suck. I am terrible at painting.
I thought I was terrible until I went to a paint night, and my picture was actually resembling what I was trying to paint. So I don't think I'm terrible anymore.
My wife keeps saying, you could do it. If you put your mind to it, you could. I'm like, honey, you don't understand.
No,
there are things I can. I'm a very good writer. I am a quality writer. I write on the radio. I cannot paint.
No,
it's terrible. It's awful.
It's in your head. It's in your head. Because what they do is they tell you the stroke to make. They tell you what colors to mix. And it just comes together. You just have to trust the process.
Yeah.
It's
and
fun.
Everybody else in the class does that, and then they look at mine and they start laughing. And they're like, were you in the same class as us? Because that's bad.
So you have done it and you failed?
I've tried it, yes.
Oh.
And it's not good.
Okay. But
I always tell people I am fantastic artist if it involves stick figures. I'm really good at stick figures. But beyond that, no.
Okay.
So.
Well, good try. At least you tried it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my dad has becoming quite a painter. And in fact, I feel like he has a lot of talent that was, he's 90, he turns 90 next month.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he has a lot of untapped talent that he probably could have been painting all this time. I mean, he's a scientist, you know, painting is, you know, that's an art thing. He's a science guy, right? But
mm-hmm.
it turns out he's actually pretty darn good.
Right.
He creates things that I couldn't. There's no way I could make in 100 years, so.
But I do believe that if you work on something, like, long enough, like, if you even worked on something for, like, 30 minutes a day, right?
Yeah.
And you put that time towards it, that you are going to become good at it just through practice.
You'll become better at it, yes.
You will.
I will say this, though. Having been around athletics a lot of my life, there's talent and then there's work ethic. If you find someone who is talented and has work ethic,
mm-hmm.
that's when you have a really, really good player.
Yes.
I've known many a guy who had a great work ethic, and they got pretty good at it, but they never had that extra little oomph to get them over the hump and be a star. And I believe it's that way in almost everything. You either have it or you don't have it. You can get proficient at something.
Sure.
But I think if you're ever going to be great at something, you've got to have that little spark of talent, too.
A little natural ability.
So, which is why I'll never be a painter. As much as you and Shelley both believe in me. Sorry. Just.
I think you could. I think your attitude needs a little adjusting. But that's just my opinion.
I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist.
No, I think that there's a fine line and you cross it quite often.
Oh, Mello.
I know. Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Well, we've used up the time. Again, thank you to our guests this week. We had some really great guests. Celeste Malloy was on earlier mm-hmm. this week. We had, of course, Willie Billings was on yesterday. I thought he did a fantastic job on the program. Zach Renstrom was on earlier this week as well. And it's just been a quality week with some quality guests. And I'm happy to end the week with the best of them all. Her name's Mello.
Oh, what a sweetie.
Thanks.
I paid you $5 for that. You're the best. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I want that in this. I want singles.
You got it.
We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Jack is going to join me on the air on Monday. We'll talk to you then.